When Crittenden first came into office, the offenses of Jesse James and his gang had put Missouri into a state of fear and turmoil. National headlines portrayed Missouri as an unsafe region where gangs of outlaws robbed banks and trains and killed innocent civilians.
I just want to say that as someone who's been to Missouri several times,
it's still
that to this day. So.
Crittenden implemented a strategy to rid the state of outlaw activity, restore order, and improve Missouri's national reputation. He secured money from the railroads and offered substantial rewards for the capture and conviction of Jesse and Frank James. His proclamation resulted in Robert Ford killing Jesse James in 1882. Crittenden pardoned the Ford brothers after they were tried for murder and found guilty. Frank James surrendered to Governor Crittenden in Jefferson City on October 5th, 1882, and was put in prison. So both of the James boys were eventually brought low by this one bullet fired by this one man who was after the substantial fat fucking reward that Crittenden was offering for the successful capture of these people.
Yeah, and it says here he was applauded by many for putting an end to Jesse James and his reign of terror, but he was also criticized for conspiring to kill a private citizen.
Right, which is an important thing to note here. You know, this is a governor kind of de facto authorizing the extrajudicial killing of a private citizen without a trial.
Right. But, you know, a private citizen that had basically embarked on a multi-decade reign of fucking violence and bloodshed.
And it's certainly a loophole not available to most citizens. If you know your fucking neighbor's a bad guy, walk up, you shoot him in the head, you don't get to just...
Yeah.
Get found guilty of murder and instantly pardoned and given $5,000.
Like,
and
if I went out tonight and fucking found some dude that had murdered some people and shot him in the fucking head, I'm still going to be charged with murder.
Yeah. You'd not go to jail.
Capitalism has an efficient way of solving its problems. And this is obviously affecting commerce in Missouri, which is the one thing you can't do in America. If you fuck with big business, they're going to make sure you're dead. He went to the big businesses of the time, the railroads, and said, give me some money, we'll take care of this motherfucker. And they did.
Yeah. So it's interesting to note now that we've reached the end of Jesse James's life that there is still a significant conspiracy community that believes with every fiber of their being that Jesse James was not killed on that day by Robert Ford and that he faked his death so that he could blend into life and live his life out.
Probably claim the reward for himself.
The most quote-unquote compelling piece of evidence that I found to support that is this picture that TJ has put up here, which is a family photo of the James family. You can see Zeralda back there in the second row, right towards the middle left.
I think I can tell which one's her.
You see her?
100%.
I mean, he's got eyes only for her.
Behind the man in the white suit sitting.
Uh-huh.
The lady direct, that's Zeralda.
Uh-huh.
You've got cousins and uncles and aunts of Jesse James. But there's one man sitting in a very prominent position in this photo. The rather dashing, mustachioed man sitting to the right, our right, her left, of the woman in the center of the photo, front row. You see him there on the ground sitting cross-legged with his hat on her lap?
Enhanced.
Yep.
Well, wouldn't you know, who's that woman sitting there in the middle there, TJ? Who do you think that is?
I don't know.
That would be Jesse James's wife. And what kind of comfortability would a man have to set his hat in the lap of a grieving woman on the day of her husband's funeral? Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Scotty. There is one person in this photo that has not been identified. Nobody really knows who he is to the family. Do you want to guess who that man is?
I'm going to go with that man right in front of us.
You're
Paul.
Absolutely right. That
front
man,
row to the right.
That man sitting very comfortably up against the widow of Jesse James on the day of his horrible, horrible funeral. I'm sure they're all very sad. Who feels comfortable enough to take his hat off, set it right in her lap.
I will say none of them look very sad, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody really seems to know who that man is in
this
photo.
I think I know.
But a lot of people think it might be Jesse James himself committing the ultimate fuck you by attending his own funeral as a member of Jesse's family.
That's beautiful, man.
There was a poem that turned into a folk song written about Jesse James. In fact, there are a number of songs that have been written that reference Jesse James or about him.
And I want to say my dad, as a dude who was born and raised in the South, did have an admiration for Jesse James. And when he saw that movie, we just saw part of the trailer for her, his criticism was that he basically thought it humanized Robert Ford too much and didn't portray him as enough of a piece of shit. So,
well, I kind of tend to agree for that. I like Robert Ford having a meltdown or a crisis of conscience or whatever you want to call that, and then taking the money at the end felt better in the movie than what was probably true. He just, you know, and as soon as he found out that this guy whose name he thought was this other name is Jesse James, he heard that there was a $5,000 bounty on his head, and he conspired with his brother to pop him as soon as they could.
Kill him.
So, so there's a stanza from that poem I want to read to you guys.
Yeah.
It was Robert Ford, that dirty little coward. I wonder how does he feel. For he ate of Jesse's bread, and he slept in Jesse's bed, and then he laid poor Jesse in his grave. Poor Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life, 3 children, they were brave. But that dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave.
Wow.
So
poor innocent Jesse James.
And they actually
dude.
Performed that in a bar in that movie. I think it's actually Nick Cave.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that, you know, even his death made him kind of a martyr to
right.
some people. That, you know, it was a very cowardly way to kill a man, shoot him in the back of the head with his back turned. And, you know, no.
His death, Paul?
Well, his assumed...
Alleged death.
His alleged
his
death.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, death in quotation marks.
Don't you guys know no one really famous ever truly dies? Doesn't happen.
I believe that Jesse James lives on to this very day.
Him and Elvis are probably smoking a fucking doobie, man.
Yeah.
Right now.
So I actually was able to find a conspiracy site that was presentable and readable and written well enough to pull some from here. We'll go to that in a minute there, TJ. That's the movie list for him.
Okay.
So this is from a conspiracy site that purports that Jesse James faked his death.
All right, let's hear it.
It says, tabloid journalism was alive and well in Jesse James's day and operating in the same way, just sensationalizing a complete fabrication of untruths. That's an interesting sentence. This certainly holds true with Professor James E. Starr's 1995 exhumation and subsequent DNA testing of Jesse James's purported grave. The DNA results are highly touted as proving with science that Jesse died and is buried just as history reports, but the truth of the matter is they proved absolutely nothing. The authors of the paper did a great job of clearly stating that while strongly suggestive, the results are not absolutely conclusive. And I actually found some scientists took a look at this in 2001 after DNA science had matured a little bit, and they had this to say. Do the mtDNA results prove that the exhumed remains are those of Jesse James? The answer to this question must be no.
Case closed. Case closed.
Still alive, dude.
As there's always the possibility, however remote,
Pah.
That the remains are from a different maternal relative Jesse James, or from an unrelated person with the same mtDNA sequence. However, it should be emphasized that most mtDNA results are in complete agreement with the other scientific investigations of the exhumed remains. There is no scientific basis whatsoever for doubting that the exhumed remains are those of Jesse James. The burden of proof now shifts to those that who, for whatever reason, choose to still doubt the identification. The mtDNA results reported herein provide a standard which other claimants to the legacy of Jesse James must now satisfy.
So well, you know what?
That's what scientists have to say on the matter. Case closed in their eyes.
Science is full of shit on this one.
But you know what?
There's no way Jesse James was shot in the back.
I ain't trying to talk to no scientist.
Motherfucker's lying and getting me pissed. Fucking Jesse James. How does he work?
But I will remind everybody that however fucking angrily that last part played out, that paragraph does begin with, you know...
The answer must be no.
Right.
The answer must be no. Does it prove it? Can we prove there are his remains? Absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt? Hell no, we cannot. Jesse James lives, y'all.
She goes on to conclude, and this is a woman that wrote this. She had a blog with this on it. No one knows a complete true story of Jesse James. Much of the historical version of his life and death is based on hearsay from the very individuals who are trying to protect him. The traditional version of his death is based on nothing but folklore. If Jesse did not die, as history reports, the domino effect begins. Z Mims was not his wife. Jesse Edwards James was not his son. Mary James was not his daughter, and so on down the line. Most experts believe that Jesse James died just as history reports, but they cannot definitively prove that he did without a valid DNA test result. There are enough dissenters to make it an intriguing idea, and if anyone could have pulled it off, it would have been Jesse James.
Hell yeah.
So that's all I've got in the life and times of Jesse James.
That's just like the unfalsifiable hypothesis kind of thing. Like, you can't 100% prove what happened. But like, look, sure, we don't know the exact version of events, but, I mean, with history, that's always the case. I mean, we've covered that with so many episodes where it's like, here's what people believe, then here's what we actually know. And what we actually know is very fucking little.
Right.
So, I mean, like, of course the gaps can be filled in by human imagination. That's only natural. History is written in such ways. Like, people that view history as like, this is history. It's like right here. It's set in stone. That's all it is. Like, that's wrong. That's totally fucking
Scotty.
False to believe that.
Let me tell you something, Scotty.
What?
What you know about Jesse James, do you think he could have been shot in the back, Scotty?
Yes.
You think that Jesse James could have been shot in the fucking back?
No way. Not a chance.
You know what? Deadwood did that same shit with Wild Bill.
Wild Bill, yeah.
Where they made it like he knew he was going to get shot because he was just too badass to not know, but he had accepted it.
He right. accepted his fate, dude.
Like, why do they... Why can't we just admit that anybody can be shot in the fucking back?
It's because they're badasses, dude. No one wants the
No one wants the badass to get taken out.
If the
out
badass
like that.
Gets taken out, it's like him
Unless
just saying,
they've got some Zen, like... It's Obi-Wan enough. Kenobi self-sacrifice
Strike
shit.
Strike me down,
you know?
I'll be more powerful than you could ever imagine. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I have a Zen acceptance of my death. I totally see that dude behind me pointing a gun at my head.
Well, it's always just, like, it's
but
also
I have
Twilight
decided
of like,
that
past,
I will allow him to kill
like,
me.
Like, they're past their prime. They're kind of these figures that are just larger than life, and it's like, they look back and like, you know what? It's my time. I'm ready. I want to die before I fucking get too old. You know, I'm done with this life.
Well, you heard the Lexington Caucasian earlier.
Right.
They compared these guys to Achilles, to...
Didn't compare...
Fucking...
No, they said he blew all those motherfuckers
right.
away.
That's what I mean. And, you know, that's an ignoble end. It's actually
right.
the end that both Wild Bill Hickok and Jesse James likely came to. Shot right in the back. But it's not the way people want them to go out. They want them to go down in a hail of bullets, trying to rob a train, rooting and tooting, and it's just their last gunfight. That's how they want these guys to go out. It's portrayed over and over again in these movies that we get, which you can bring that list up if you want. There's just an absurd amount of movies. And I found this really cool list that's kind of color-coded. So if you read real quick the color coding at the top, Red
so,
Type
yeah.
is a documentary about him.
Okay.
And anything in blue is not directly about him, but features him.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's about, you know, he's in it.
Right.
So, but not a central figure in it. So just look at all this shit. I mean, it's in descending order. So starting
right.
with the most recent example,
and
which
I'm
is,
sure that
and they're
far,
probably more recent
as
examples.
We get to the golden age of westerns. I'm sure that it's a lot. Yeah, you see in the 50s.
I mean,
and
it just goes on and,
shit.
On and on and on and on, man.
Yeah.
He continues to be a cultural kind of touchstone for Americans. I don't know how he's perceived outside of America. I couldn't really find a whole lot of foreign coverage of Jesse James that wasn't just like. Here's 10 facts you didn't know about bloody American outlaw Jesse James or whatever the fuck, you know.
Fucking British
the total garbo.
Suck. Such garbage.
So yeah,
fuck
but
them Brits.
You know, maybe some of our British patrons can chime in on Patreon or
By the way,
the,
I was kind of curious about the Weekly Caucasian.
Oh yeah.
And,
did you go look it up? Is it still in print?
No.
No,
absolutely what? Not. It actually ceased Sam. Publication in 1875, so hasn't been print for a while.
I don't know why, with that fucking, like, Shakespearean poetry they were writing.
I know. It seemed like a pretty awesome paper. I was thinking about getting a subscription if it was still around, because I am. Well, I'm Caucasian. I don't know if you guys know that
right.
about me.
But I think, Caucasian how do you know they're not referring to the, like, the Caucasian mountains, the Caucasus mountains, you know?
Because it was a racist paper in Lexington.
What?
So I'm pretty sure.
Was it really a racist paper, TJ?
Was it really a racist paper, sir?
I'm pretty sure.
Or was it the only paper that had the balls to lift up the hero that was Jesse James out there fighting for the South?
One of the two.
These journalists were
sure.
fighting for the truth, TJ. That's
oh, you know
what?
Going
for.
It didn't really go away. It just... got absorbed into the Lexington Weekly Intelligencer.
Yeah, racism just gets its own section now,
but
boys.
That also folded in 1891.
It's not the whole paper. It's just part of the paper now.
I'll tell you what, TJ. Hector himself from ancient times saw Jesse James one time after he was killed in the afterlife. Dropped to his knees and sucked Jesse's dick right there on the spot. You know who come along, TJ? Alexander the Great. And he saw Jesse James getting blown by Hector. And he just couldn't fucking contain himself. He pulled out his sword and gutted himself right there on the spot, denying Damn. Himself an afterlife, TJ. Because he knew never be as badass as Jesse.
Hell no.
And you know what happened after that, TJ?
What?
Jesus Christ saw Jesse James finishing up his blowjob with Hector.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to pull his dick out and get Hector to suck his dick. And Hector was like, fuck you. Who are you again?
Wow, dude.
He committed
the
suicide too.
Fucking slap down.
Jesus done killed himself. Sorry, Christians. He ain't coming back because he saw Jesse James getting head from Hector himself and then was denied that same blowjob.
Yeah, Jesus isn't good enough to get. Like, if you had sucked Jesse James's dick, there ain't no way you're going to sully your lips with Jesus's nasty fucking dick after that.
Not only that, but your jaw is going to be worn thin, because let me tell you something,
you're
TJ.
Lucky if your jaw is still attached at that
Jesse
point.
Jesse James was hung like a hoss.
Yeah. Most horses were envious of
like
Jesse James's fucking
like a goddamn fucking mule, TJ.
Shit, yeah.
That's why I dispute the fact that Jesse James ever fathered a woman. There's no way that he ever fit that monster into a vagina. No way.
Yeah, I think what he would do is he'd just use her, and she'd have to like grab it with her body like a koala.
Yeah.
And then he'd
use
her
as a fleshlight. Yeah.
And then afterwards, he'd just take a scoop of like the gallons and gallons of cum.
Yes.
And just kind of cram it in that pussy.
Look, I didn't see any pictures of Jesse from. That's why I think most of the pictures are from the waist up. They couldn't even.
Even fit his cock in the picture.
No.
Too big, dude.
Like, you don't even know. Like,
I don't think they had aerial photography at that point. If they had.
You don't see his dick in this picture. It cuts off because his dick is just on the floor in this picture, just rolled around. Oh, you got to see it. Like, yeah. It's just. There's a reason they cut it off there at the waist.
Yep.
They don't want you to see.
I mean, his brother, in fact, is probably standing on it. It's probably taking up the entire floor there.
Yep. His brother's sitting on it.
Oh, he's sitting
on a coil of it.
Yeah. They're actually both sitting on it, just using Jesse James's dick as like a park bench.
Yeah. That was his name in high school when I looked it up. Old Dick Bench.
Dick Bench James.
Yeah.
Dick so big he'd just take a seat whenever he wants.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's part of the.
That's what I heard about Jesse
let
James.
Let us add that to the legend. Of Jesse James. Dick Bench James.
Don't ask me about that time that Jesse James ran across Gorilla. Don't ask me about that time, TJ. I won't even tell that tale.
Oh, you got it now.
Oh, well, no. You know what? I ain't doing it. I refuse.
Do it, or I'm going to tell a vastly inferior version.
All right, fair enough. After Hector got done sloppily sucking Jesse James's huge coil of cock and then denied sucking Jesus's little beta wee wee. Jesse James was pulling up his pants. He's pulling up his pants. Heard a twig snap. He turned around. And I know what you think I'm going to say, but it wasn't. It's Jesse's wife. She said, Jesse? She saw Hector laying there all cum splattered. Jesse, what's going on here? Honey, it ain't what it looked like. And at that point, his wife started to laugh in a way that was queer to Jesse, who had known her for a long time. And that laugh started to sound less and less like a laugh and more and more like the cry of some wild animal. She reached back and pulled off her mask, and it's Gorilla.
Always Gorilla, dude. It's always fucking Gorilla.
Gorilla looks with his infinitely wise, infinitely ancient gorilla eyes right at Jesse, and Jesse knows the meaning of this fable that he's portrayed, this comedy of errors that he's portrayed in having his wife show up. Jesse remembers that he's dead.
He's in the afterlife with Jesus and Hector and Alexander the Great. He's never seen his wife here. She must have went to heaven, and he's in hell. And he realizes the gorilla's given him that wise look so that he feels the depth of the sin that he's committing. As he walks around to all these ancient heroes of old. Hercules. All of them. He's solicited blowjobs and caused the suicides of them all here in the afterlife. And for the first time in Jesse James's life, a man who purportedly never felt any guilt for the people that he killed, he saw the sorrow of his deeds in the eyes of Gorilla. And he fell to his knees for the first time in his life and wept. Gorilla started running towards him, and Jesse didn't even care. Resigned to deserve to die for his sins. Gorilla walks up, raises his hands up high. Jesse doesn't even wince, ready to face his maker again in the afterlife. But instead of crushing him, Gorilla just puts his hands on his shoulders, comforts him, helps him to his feet. And then rips his fucking head out, throws it away, and walks into the woods.
A noble death for Jesse James.
That's a good passion.
That's how
death,
he should have gone out.
Yeah, I think people would have accepted that.
That's how he did go out in the afterlife. The second death brought by Gorilla, who
thanks,
never
Gorilla.
Loses. You thought he was going to just like let him come on.
I mean, yeah, there's no way.
Well, I knew Gorilla
nobody
wasn't
has ever
lose.
Nobody has ever faced Gorilla and won. Not
right.
even Jesse James.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've already spoiled that, so we know Gorilla's going to win every fight, because there's no way he can ever lose.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well,
it's just that nobody
has lost thus far.
Right, nobody has ever found the correct...
He can lose in the
future. I will tell you that for absolutely sure, TJ.
What's that?
There is a foe out there that maybe could defeat Gorilla, and I'm not even kayfabing, but nobody's found it yet.
I don't believe it, dude.
When people find what or who it is... I will tell the story of Gorilla's defeat, but until that day, until that day, TJ.
Until that day.
The Gorilla, undefeated heavyweight 90 champion million, of the universe.
Everything else in existence, zero.
Wow. Awesome. Cool.
And that's how we do a Jesse James
episode. That's the Jesse James episode. Yeah.